Bubble 65. Anatoly Spatz and Tatiana Keegan.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Scalora Danceport. It has been a long time since I've seen you guys, but we are finally back. We're recording this episode on Veterans Day, so I'd like to give a quick shout out to all our men and women in uniform, and thank you for your fantastic service. It is November, so a lot of world championships have been happening within the World Danceport Federation. Now, with me today, I've got two American athletes, that's right, I said American athletes, who have made finals of prestigious competitions such as World Championships, German Open, and many others. So without further ado, we bring from New York, New York, we've got Anatoly Spatz and Tatiana Keegan. Hello guys, how are you?
Hello.
Hey.
How are you guys doing on this beautiful morning in New York? You're in New York, correct?
Yes, Brooklyn.
Yes.
We're in Brooklyn.
And it is a beautiful morning here, actually.
Very sunny.
And warm.
No, it's cold, but it's
not. I was about to say sunny and warm. I'm kind of cold here in Sicily, so it sounds like I have to come to Brooklyn then.
You're welcome.
I
come to Brooklyn at any point.
Awesome. Last time I was in Brooklyn was in, I believe it was in 2021, because my friends Seema and Matthew, they all made a little vacation during the summer, so I went and joined them in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn was amazing during the summertime. I don't know about the winter time, because I'm not a fan of the cold, but the summertime, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lot of trees here, there are a lot of parks, so it's a lot of nature, it's very green. Brooklyn is very green.
Green, okay, yeah. I see.
When it's summer. Now, of course, but still, we have a lot of trees here.
I see. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about, I introduced World Championships. I spoke about German Opens. So we're high-level athletes here. Speak to me a little bit. How did you begin dancing? What did the partnership look like before we start speaking about these World Championships?
All right, who starts? Me? How did I start dancing, or how did we start dancing together?
Both.
Well, then we need 3 hours to start how I started. Well, I started when I was 14. I was before a very serious gymnast, rhythmic gymnast. I was in the Olympic reserve, but at some point your body starts, you know, growing and you start losing flexibility. So you need to quit. And I knew I always liked to do something with the music. So I was in high school and we had a class which was called Waltz, where we were introduced to the waltz, the history of it, and then there is a couple came out in a ball gown and started doing the waltz. And that was it. I was sold. I saw them, I fell in love with it. I thought I fell in love with the boy, but I guess I fell in love with the ballroom dancing. And at the end of it, they said, well, Anybody wants to try to dance with a guy? And I was like, me, can I?
Me, so teacher, put me in.
So he just grabbed me, and I remember we were doing the box to the right, and that was it. I came home so excited, and I was telling mostly my mom and my grandmother, oh my God, I think I found something. He chose me. And they were like, what is that? I said, it's called ballroom dancing. I want to dance. And so we started going to different clubs in Russia. And they wouldn't take me. Because if you don't have a partner, they won't take you.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried and tried a lot of clubs. And everywhere is the same story. So then my mom said, well, let's just ask around. Maybe somebody who we know has a boy and who wants to dance. At 14, boys don't want to dance. They want to do karate, boxing, soccer, but not ballroom dancing. So I was crying and crying and crying. My mom said, look, just give it up. And I gave up for about 6 months. And then I heard again, there's some club doing the audition for the kids. You don't have to have a partner. So that's when I went there and they picked me. And when they saw me, my training was showing because I was, you know, I was a gymnast. I was flexible. Mm-hmm. I had rhythm. And
very
so gave me a partner, like day after. Mm-hmm. And then 3 months after training was my very first competition in 10 dances, of course. And I won it with my partner. So that's how I started. That's how I started. I got hooked. It's like
that's
a
right.
So that's how I started.
No. Fantastic. Now, Anatoly, tell me, how did you begin dancing?
I started, I think I was about 6. I was born in Moldova, which was back then part of the Soviet Union. Pretty much any kids of my relatives, they all did ballroom dance. So my parents were like, you know, you go do ballroom dancing too. So it was a popular sport, probably still is, in Moldova. So I started there. I was, it's a big club, in a big club. It was several in the capital city of Moldova. And I was dancing like as a child and as a junior youth. Eventually, when I was 17, my family moved to US, to Brooklyn. I've been in Brooklyn since 1993. And I basically met my future wife here, and we danced as amateurs for a couple of years. Then we turned pros, we danced pros. Her name is Renata. Some of you might know her, some of the Renata Schwartz. And we turned pros, danced a couple of years, and then at 25, I stopped because I decided that I wanted to do something else, basically use my education career to actually build a career in a different industry. And so at 25, I stopped competing, and I'm going to stop here because Tatiana is going to continue because she never stopped for pretty much. So I'm going to let her continue, and then we'll pick it up and how we met.
Together. Well, let's give a quick shout out to the one and only Renata, who's in Los Angeles right now. She's got the LA Dance Sport Challenge, correct?
Correct. She's organizing it with Karina Smirnov and Denis Kutepov. And from what I hear, it's going really, really great. And I think
I saw some videos. Yeah. It looks fantastic. The ballroom looks nice, nice lights. I saw Nikolai Darin. I saw some piece of his show. It looks really, really good. So shout out and a hello to Renata. But back to this story. I want to hear it.
All right, well, so I'm dancing, right? He's doing his jobs, family, kids, right? Trying to make money. I'm still dancing. I'm poor, broke. Well, I get married. I do also have a kid, but I'm dancing all the time. So in 2018, I had no partners, but I was still going to the ballroom and practicing and practicing. And I had some partner. We do a little standard, and I did even compete in smooth ones, and I did theater arts, and I had a salsa partner. We danced shows together, but it's still not the same. I need Latin, like I love Latin, international Latin. I did the rhythm as well, but it's not the same.
Yeah, you need the Latin fire inside.
Yeah, and so I did hustle, everything, every possible, Argentine tango, I can do them all, but that's not it. And so in 2018, the new studio opens, and it's called Ballroom Hub. It's on 5th Avenue and 28th Street, right?
Yeah, 28th. Back then it was,
yeah. So I'm going there to check the studio, and as I walk in, Renata is there. And that was her studio. She opened it up with Igor. Igor?
Litvin.
Litvin, right. So I walk in, I was like, hey, new studio, can I come and try to teach my students? And she said, yes, of course you can, but I have a proposal for you. I said, what? She said, look, are you looking for a partner? I said, yes. She said, would you like to dance with my husband? I said, okay. She said, except for when you saw him 20 years ago, he was young, skinny, and had a lot of hair. Now he's fat and bald.
Oh, he's still beautiful. He's still a beautiful man. Handsome man.
Said,
beautiful.
It does not matter. I want to dance. Let's have a tryout. So she goes, well, I didn't tell him yet. Let me tell him first. Then I'll let you know. So week passes by. No news. So I text her. And she goes, oh, I just talked to him. He went to buy shoes. So that's how we started. That was it.
Yep. So the reason, like, why after about almost 20 years, like when I stopped at 25 and after almost 20 years, maybe 18 or so, I decided to try it again was, as Tatiana was saying, like, because of my kind of sitting down job, I deal a lot with the computer, like work sitting down. With the time, you know, my waist was growing, my hair was leaving me, and my blood pressure started also rising. So we started, me, my wife, and Renata, we were sitting, and she's like, well, you have to do some exercising. And I was like, yeah, that's true, I have to. And I tried different things. I tried a little bit of weightlifting. I tried a little bit of running and jogging. And I kind of figured out that probably the best way for me to kind of get back into shape would be dancing, because in a way, that is the kind of sport I felt that kind of trains your whole body right away.
Right,
it's not
right,
just
right.
Like, just, okay, let's gain some muscle weight or let's just build some stamina. It naturally brings you to a specific condition. And I was like, well, if I do any kind of like sport, I probably wouldn't mind like practicing a little bit and just kind of go into dance after almost 20 years. So that kind of stuck with her. And I think when she saw Tatiana was interested in continuing to dance. She was like, hey, yeah, I have a proposition for you.
Let's try this.
So for better or worse, we started dancing together, like practicing slowly. I mean, literally, I think I pretty much almost fainted the first time we tried together.
I was going to ask you, after 20 years, what was it like getting back into the routine of an athlete? What was it like physically, mentally?
It was not easy.
No, because I was in shape, right? Because I was always, but I'm in the runner, I do yoga, I was practicing. So we'll would do a routine. We put a routine together, right? And I said, okay, well, let's dance from the beginning to the end. It's about minute 50 routine.
Right.
In about 15 seconds, you see he's turning blue and red and green, and he's breathing very heavily. I'm like, don't stop. Don't stop.
And he pushed with that.
So, yeah, so probably like 15 minutes, I was already like pretty much sitting down at that point. But, you know, kudos to Tatiana for kind of like taking it very patiently, because it took a little bit of time. It took a good half a year. I feel for me to feel like, you know, athletic again. And I, you know, obviously it's not like when you were 23, I think I stopped around 25 or something. But again, different kind of athleticism. But I felt, all right, I think I could do it. Like, we danced for about half a year. We did a studio show. But I was like, okay, I think I'm getting a hang of it now.
We got all five dancers together. But we just did it for practice or for shows. We were not planning to compete. I wasn't planning. He wasn't planning. We're like, it's good for us meeting about three times a week, about 2 hours at a time, putting all five dancers together, finding cool song, and there is some show comes up, just do choreograph little lifts or some kind of tricks.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then people are like, so when are you going to compete? And I was, no, not in our plan. I'm too old. I'm almost 50. That's it. I'm done. I just want to do for hell of it, you know?
I see.
His wife goes, you guys have to compete.
You must.
You have to compete.
You have to.
And so she pushed us. She really pushed us. And I didn't want to, but I was like, all right, well, let's try. We have a New York Dance Festival right here in New York. You don't have to go far. We'll just go make fool of ourselves and embarrass ourselves, but at least we don't have to go anywhere. So we go in there, we're dancing great. I watched the video, I was like, I guess we're stuck again with that.
Well.
So that's it.
Yeah, so since, we got back into the circuit.
Since 2019, and we danced, but then of course pandemic, we stopped for a little bit, but as soon as things start opening up, we start practicing again, so. It's been like all together about 5 years. We are together.
Yeah, five years of being a break because we didn't dance for a year.
So we have to thank Renata for the success. Yes, we have to. She's the main push. Good. Well, a round of applause to you.
She's an agent. Our agent.
Awesome. So it brings us to this year, 2023, where you competed at the German Open Championship and placed in the finals. Speak to me a little bit about this experience in Germany. What was it like?
Always competing in Europe for us, we don't do it often. I mean, that's probably one of the kind of disadvantages of being so far away from Europe is having to travel, and you know, it's expensive. It's
of course,
you have to take time off. You have to do all of that. and then, you know, both have families and commitments, and Jan is teaching, I have my work. So, but it's always exciting to be able to go a competition like German Open. I mean, again, it was second time I was at German Open. First time I was there, I think I was 24. Oh, and now the second time I was there was this year. So it's always very, I mean, obviously nervous, because, you know, it's going to be a lot of couples, and
of course
you want to do your best, and, you know, your best, you know, you want to prepare. So always exciting being in Europe. We don't do it often, and it was great that we were able to go to German Open, because it's not a world championship, it's a separate competition. So you don't get assistance from, like, USA Dance as like scholarship, kind of a travel scholarship. So we went. We were very excited to go. I think as to how we danced, I'll let Tatiana speak to that. But great experience. And, like, we could pick up if you want, if we have more questions on, like, what we liked, what we enjoyed more, and things like that. But I'll let Tatiana continue with, like, what, like, how our dancing was and how we
prepared. Let's hear it, Tatiana. How was the dancing? I need to hear this one.
We danced great.
Bravissima.
And, you know, I don't say that often. I'm never happy. I'm very critical of us and myself. I always, every time I watch my video, I always quit on that's it. That's embarrassing. I'm going to dance anymore. This is just, I'm ashamed of myself. But this time, somehow, I don't know what happened. But we prepared very well. First of all, we really did a lot of practicing. I mean, we always practice, but here we did a lot of rounds. Mm-hmm. I went to different studios, did a lot of rounds. I personally did a lot of running, you know, because, you know, stamina. What's different between in Europe and here, there are a lot of couples. So that's why you get a lot of rounds. If you start with 60 couples, that means you're going to have 5 rounds to dance. And that is a lot. 5 by 5. Yeah, and music is long there. They always play very long music. And it's very fast. So that's why it's so hard. So it's not just physically hard, it's mentally. Mentally, in about when we get into the semifinal, that's where we have issues.
It was tougher, so, yes.
We just, I don't know what is happening. Like first round, second, third, but by the semifinal, we usually, you know, we get very nervous because we want to get, of course, into the finals.
Right.
There's something paralyzes us. It's not a first competition. We were last year, we went to the World Championship in Spain. It was the same thing. Semi-final was crucial. That's a crucial. It's like some point where either you fly or you fight. Something like that.
Make it or break it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We usually relax and start really laughing, goofing, like crazy. Sometimes just laugh and we cannot stop. But by semi-final is always hard. So so that's what's so hard. And we learn from German Open to be prepared for the actual, for the World Championship.
Right, for those emotions, how to deal with them. Yeah,
in Netherlands. Because that was just like, okay, now we know what's working for us and what's not. And so we were preparing. And I think we did it in Netherlands, which is about a month ago in a World Championship. I think we got it. Mm-hmm. So the semifinal, we were relaxed, we were pacing ourselves, we were eating a lot. Like
you were ready, you were more experienced.
Yes, because you know now what, you know, we don't have our coaches. Like, you know, ideally it would be nice to have a coach who constantly leads you. Sure. Okay, guys, you did great, do this, get a little bit of this. But here we are own coaches. So we really need to, and since I'm doing this for so long, I already know myself. And I know exactly what works and not. So I'm like my own coach. So we were pacing ourselves, not pacing that we're saving the energy for each round. No. I mean, in between rounds, we were really like relaxing, sitting and staying calm, eating all the time.
Eating some food.
And we don't really have the luxury, in a way, a luxury of saving ourselves kind of to the next rounds. Because for what I said, we go there maybe once a year. Like this is like this, our maybe third WDSF competition in Europe. So we have to prove ourselves from the very first round.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Unlike maybe some couples who've been around in Europe and they've been competing on every competition, maybe every couple of weeks.
Right, from the get-go.
Very much, who are these guys? So we have to prove ourselves from the very first round. And sometimes that takes a toll. Like, that's what happened with the kind of saying in Spain, for example. First year we competed there in Europe, at the Worlds, is we tried to prove ourselves in the very first round. And then by the time the semifinal came, we were already kind of feeling it. When we made the final, we were probably dancing just on a kind of happiness alone. Mm-hmm. And because at that point, at least I could speak to myself, my body started shutting down very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I think German Open was kind of a training experience for us, because lots of rounds, and we also had to prove ourselves, because again, nobody, probably like only very few people who competed with us a year before knew who we were. So it was, again, coming in, a new couple has to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. And then as we prepared for Rotterdam, for the World Championship.
So you spoke about that aspect physically being hard, that you have to push already from the first round. What about mentally? Did that have a toll on you, knowing that there were other couples on the floor who maybe have worked or are familiar with the other adjudicators or have maybe a little more popularity?
Absolutely. Throws me off. Mm-hmm. But you see people, you know, you don't know who they are, how they dance, but their attitude, they walk around in a beautiful ball gown and with great hair, and it was like, oh my God, they're better than I am, right? And so you have to stop doing this, because when I was training in gymnastics, right, our teachers, coaches were always telling us, you cannot look at anybody who's competing against you. You have to turn away, never look at the floor, never look on people dancing, never watch what people do, how they dance. You turn away and you just stare at the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always do. If we are lining up to about to get to dance, I never look at the floor. Sometimes he does.
I do. I'm guilty of looking at couples
when they dance. But I don't allow him. And I always turn him away and say, look at me, look at me. Let's just hold the hands. Or let's just breathe together. Or just look away. Just warm up. But don't look at competitors, because that's what throws you off. So that is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The key is also to shut everything out in a way, but not your performance. So, for example, another thing that is different in Europe, as a lot of people who went and competed there know, is the sheer size of the space. Mm-hmm. So usually it's an arena of some kind, a sport, you know, sport complex. So you get people sitting on the risers. So you get to a totally different space versus, let's say, when we compete in US, which is usually a hotel or a space, which is very limited in size, and you kind of dance to somebody who is sitting right in front of you. Here you dance towards kind of like, and you don't want to overextend yourself either, kind of like, because that very quickly could get you tired. So you still have to focus on your partner, on your performance. So in a way, it's finding this balance of shutting the noise out, but yet not letting it impact your performance and focus. So, and I think we were able to do that in Rotterdam.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, which is still a huge arena. But in a way, like, we got when we talk about that, we got the reaction from the audience who were sitting at the top of the risers. Mm-hmm. So basically they were able to enjoy it, and yet we still maintained our, like, performance without spreading ourselves too thin or getting too tired.
We focused. We were very centered. I know that we're focused on this on purpose. That was our key word, focus, center. Just being not within ourselves, not closed up.
But in the couple, yeah.
Just focus. And then, of course, when you express yourself and if people enjoy it and they react to it, you work off that. You work with that energy. But where I have sometimes issues, most of times, I just throw myself there and I get tired and I look weak. I look like I'm all over the place. And so I have to learn how to still be very strong and still express myself. But, you know, so it's hard. You understand, right? It's very hard.
Sure, managing the not go too much here, but also not go too much there, to be right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And you cannot, because if you reserve yourself, then you're going to look like you're walking through. You're not really dancing and expressing yourself 100%, because you cannot keep even 1% behind. You have to throw each chance from first round. I always say, from me, no matter how many rounds you have ahead of you, each chance has to be like, this is your last dance.
Right. So always push, yes.
All 100. Don't wait. Oh, well, in the final, you're not going to make to the final if you're holding back.
That is true. Many of today's top couples in the amateur professionals, they dance or they walk in the first round, and then maybe if they make it to the finals, then they dance. But it's good that many. We need more couples with this mentality like yours that always push in every round. You mentioned one thing that is very true, that Americans have to deal with more often than the Europeans, that the venue setting is always quite different. So the venue in Rotterdam, it is very beautiful, though it is also very big. In USA, the venues are a hotel ballroom. So which do you prefer in general? A hotel ballroom where maybe the audience is a little more warm, more encouraging? Or do you prefer an arena setting where there's more lights and it may feel some overwhelming here and there? What are your thoughts?
I'll go mine and then Tatiana will share hers.
You go ahead.
I do prefer the arena simply because it's just an experience. Mm-hmm. It's the experience that you get because a lot more, you get to feed off energy of a lot more people. So generally, like the World Championship, the German Open was though in a kind of a ballroom. German Open, actually, our competition was more in a kind of US type of setting. It was more mm-hmm. in a hotel ballroom side because they had like four ballrooms.
Right.
But the World Championship arena, and you just get to feed off energy of a lot of people who attend. And also, like, it just feels so grand, and the parade and with the flag, mm-hmm. all of that, it puts you into this mood and like focus, or gives you extra focus. But like dancing in the smaller places, also great. But in that case, you have to kind of find one or two per person. Like when you're dancing, you kind of and just kind of communicate with your partner. In an arena, it's different. So I prefer arena simply because maybe I don't do it as often. So mm-hmm. when I have to kind of choose, I'd go with the arena.
Mm-hmm. I will go with the arena too.
Bye.
I'm in a big place.
Okay, then one day I'll see what we can do. We're going to organize a big competition in the Colosseum. How about this?
Okay.
The Colosseum in Rome.
I love it too because, I don't know, you can spread your energy all around, and true. There's a big floor, and there's a lot of couples you share with. It
all the audience, like all the music. It feels like a huge, massive Beyonce show.
Right, but small places like hotel, this is good for shows.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can connect to people, because when you do show, you really have to see people's eyes. You want to. Mm-hmm. Then that's when you.
Have to connect with the audience a little bit.
Yeah, you perform for them. You want to see their faces. You want to see them close. You want to goof around. Mm-hmm. If you do, like, we have some show. Actually, today we're doing some show. We're going right after that. And, you know, we have some funny jive. And you want to make faces. You want to see people.
Yes. You want to entertain them.
Yeah.
I see. So speak to me a little bit now about your Latin style. Because we see... on Facebook, Tatiana, you share all your classes and you're always so energized and filled with emotions. Talk to me about your Latin. What do you want to show in your Latin? What do you want the people to see? What do you want for me to say, wow, I like this, that, and that about this couple?
Well, to me, of course, mechanics. I don't call it technique. To me, technique is everything. Technique mm-hmm. has footwork, speed, expression, costume, relationship, right? This is not technique, mechanics. So, of course, underneath, it has to be, you know, left, mm-hmm. right, Cuban motion. You have to stand on your feet. Of course, balance is important, speed or whatever. Everybody has different things. Like, some people are fast, some people not, but they're flexible. So, mm-hmm. That's where you have to choose, first of all. What exactly you're good at mechanically? Like, right. If you can create a speed, but you don't have a lot of flexibility, you cannot lift your leg up to here, that's fine, right? So that's how you choose your choreography around that. But to me, it was always important, and I guess that was how I always felt, expression.
Mm-hmm.
But expression's not just making faces. Expressing yourself very honestly and truly from here, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and I always say, well, people say, well, what do I do? What do you do with my face? I said, do what the music tells you. But how? Listen to the music. Okay? Sometimes music can be happy, sometimes can be goofy, sometimes very sad, mm-hmm. sometimes nothing. Like, Blackpool music is great, right? But it's just you know, it's nice and rhythmical.
Right, right.
And that's what you have to move your music through your ears, through mm-hmm. your center, into your belly, and just mm-hmm. whatever it tells you. That's how. So to me, the most important is emotions, but they have to be very, very honest.
Real. They have to be real. It has to you through yeah, the, with you the music, connect with the music, and have it come out. Yes.
Right. And that was my always my thing. I always felt like this is so important. That's why people say, "Oh, how do you do it?" Well, of course, it's years of experience. But I always felt like I remember when I just started dancing ballroom, and I would do a rumba and smile, and they were like, "Why are you smiling? You have to be sexy. You have to be passionate." I'm like, "This is stupid. I don't feel sexy." I was 16. I wasn't feeling sexy. And they were like, "Well, what do you do?" I said, "I feel happy." So I would dance with a smile. I wouldn't do all this. I hate that. And then when I did standard, when I would dance tango, I would always smile. And people were like, "Well, why are you smiling tango? Why not? Why do I have to make faces? I don't feel like that." Mm-hmm. Yes, it's dramatic. It's very dramatic, but I feel happy doing tango. So I would smile during tango, and people couldn't understand me. And I couldn't explain why. And through, of course, so many, almost 40 years right. of experience, I understand. I'm a very honest person. Like in life, I'm very honest. I would never lie to people. I always tell the truth. Sometimes they say, "Look, can you just put a little filter in what you're saying?" So that's who I am. And so that's why I dance. I'm also very honest with my emotions and feelings. Mm-hmm.
So as long as it's pure and it's real and it's exactly what you're feeling inside, this is what you want to portray right. in the life. It's very good.
And that's probably, I'm going to also a little bit, because that feeds into what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. It's important to have your own recognized unique style. Like,
right.
I feel a lot of couples, and I'm not talking about senior category, I'm talking about generally right now, a lot of couples mm-hmm. in general, kind of lost, or they're kind of focusing on not developing their own style, but kind of like matching to what is expected of them, kind of like,
right.
To make the final, you expect it to look like this, or I feel like, and that's like being true to your emotions or to your feelings also helps you develop your own unique style. And I feel like as a couple, when we are on the floor, we look different. Even like in the senior category in Europe with very strong senior competitors, who are very strong, very technical, we still look different.
Mm-hmm.
And some might like it, some might not like it.
So that American, American sizzle.
Right, maybe that's what it is. And yeah. But we still like stay true to, we feel this way. And a lot of times, mm-hmm. even when we put like a routine together, we want to change something, a lot of times if it feels right to us, it feels good, probably that's the best choice. Versus trying to like imitate something, or oh, maybe there should be more technique here. No, this feels, and that's what Tatiana is saying. Like being honest with yourself, and then make it project to your dancing.
Into the dance,
make you're more unique as a couple. Will give you your own personal style, and then you go with it. You take it as far as you can. Like yes, there's going to be people who like it. There might be people who don't. But it's important for you to be like unique and recognized by with that. Like,
well, you
for
know,
being unique.
When you're young, you're probably trying to, you know, do what others want you. But when you start getting older, you realize this is it. Maybe it's your last chance. Maybe it's your last competition.
Mm-hmm.
Dress up and do what you love to do, and throw yourself on the floor. That's fine. I'll throw myself on the floor, even if I need to be, I don't want to worry about what they're going to think about me.
Mm-hmm. I see. I really appreciate the fact that you, both of you, maintain the integrity of what you feel within the dancing. Because in today's dance sport world, we see many couples following a certain trend depending on what federation they dance in. If they dance within the WDSF, they follow that trend. If they dance within the WDC, they follow the WDC trends, the WDO, the Heritage, and they all follow their certain trends, but they don't stick to their integrity of their emotions and exactly as you're saying. So that's definitely one thing we can appreciate from your Latin dancing. Now, I do want to segue into another thing that Anatoly mentioned, the clothes. I loved your outfits at Rotterdam. The shirt you wore, Anatoly, I was like, I kind of want one like that too. So tell me a little bit about your clothes.
You talking about the final one or
in the final,
the white and black, the black and white?
Yes, that one. All right.
That shirt is a few years old, but I mean, we always, and again, a lot of times my wife helps with kind of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much for my shirts, but with Tatiana's dresses, kind of like, she's like, hey, this is interesting. And it might be, because she kind of like knows what's going to look good on Tatiana.
Right.
And what also going to make her look different and interesting. That specific shirt, it's one of the older shirts I had. But when I saw Tatiana's dress being like for the final, usually for the final, we like to change into something different.
Of course.
Still maintain mm-hmm. the style of it, like our style, but of what we wore in the previous rounds, but give it a fresher look.
Mm-hmm.
Now that specific shirt, just an older shirt, I danced in it several competitions before pandemics, but I looked at it and it was like, wow, that's gonna match Tatiana's kind of Spanish looking, really authentic mm-hmm. dress, but I need to spice it up. And I was like, I'm gonna put these white things on the sleeves. And basically I asked the person who was making the dress for Tatiana, say, could you do this for me? And within like a couple of hours, she had it ready. And that kind of, for me, brought it all together because I needed that authentic.
Right, that little extra piece.
Yeah, finish the picture. Now, there's a downside. That shirt is tucked in and I'm not ready yet to kind of wear a tucked in shirt. So that was kind of a ballsy move on me. Not sure if it backfired or not.
I couldn't tell. I was focused on that. I loved it.
Yeah, if you look from here enough, great.
So
just don't look down.
I'm still kind of experimenting with the tucked in, tucked out.
It'll be our secret. Don't worry. Nobody else will.
But yeah, that was basically a reuse. And a lot of times I try to, if something works and I know it's going to work, I'll just reuse it. I'm not going to spend another several hundred dollars to make something like
well,
that.
Well, other shirts in previous rounds, he has a short sleeve. And also, it was just total accident. We did the last year, we did some show and we did some funky samba routine. And he said, What should I wear? And he has some shirt and he said, why don't I just cut my sleeve? Oh, I said, somebody said, let's cut the sleeve. So he cut the sleeves. Right?
Yeah, it was just a tucked out shirt.
And we really liked it. And it was like, why don't we do it for the competitions? So that's how it started. So now he's making all the shirts, short sleeve, but they are untucked. They're just hanging over.
I see. So, and tell me about your dress. What's the process for the dressmaking?
Well, Renata, his wife, is a big designer.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually go to our woman, Larissa Kravchenko. We go. Three of us get together, and Renata always has ideas. She doesn't know yet what, but she has, look, I like last two dresses, she felt like it has to be some kind of Spanish look with that, you know, like when the women dance flamenco, and they always have those scarves, right? And they,
right.
You know, they cover themselves. So that's what she had in mind, but we didn't know exactly how it's gonna go.
Sure.
So that's what we just put the fabric and we're just trying to throw this on, and that's how it ended up. So these both dresses I had, they both had same idea: Spanish dress with a little flamenco scarf. Mm-hmm. It just one was like this, and the other one was like this. I am not good with designing. When I start doing all these fittings, I just freak out. I freak out because I don't know if it's going to work out. I just cannot. I have to just trust these two, Larissa who makes my dress, Renata who makes decisions. I'm just like an instrument there because I cannot. I'm not good at it.
I see. I feel you on 100%. Any time I wear something, it's because somebody told me to wear it. I don't understand one thing about that. So
they see
that. I'm with you. I could be dancing my next world championship in a pajama. So, if, I don't know.
They tell you that. But you really have to trust those people who tell you what to wear.
Anyways, guys, let me get to our final topic for today. Tell me a little bit, what's the future look like? What is our next competition? Europe? Talk to me.
Not many plans yet, because now we actually got a lot of shows. We're doing around Well, we just did show in Delaware, and today we're going to Albany, upstate New York, and then next week we're going to Catskill. So we are busy with all the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm judging a couple of college competitions, like Columbia University competition in December. So we don't have any competitions planned yet, right?
Well, except Mac.
All right, Mac. Yeah.
Mac, that's right.
Yes, we know we're going to do Mac, which is in January. And this year, they're hosting WDO World Championship for seniors. So we're going to do that one.
Oh, well, actually, we do have plans, right?
But it's not going to Europe.
Actually, we have a few World Championships coming up.
Yeah, of course. But it's going to Jersey City. It's not flying to Europe. So it's Newark, not Jersey City. So it's basically much closer, which is great.
In the home state.
But we plan to do that. We'll do the nationals again.
In March.
But we'll do the nationals again, and then we'll see what future holds as far as like travels.
I definitely want to go towards more European championships. Well, we did Blackpool last year. You know, Blackpool is hard to get to. You know, mm-hmm. it's very complex, you know, so many different trains and planes and cars.
Different trends to follow.
Right. But we definitely want to go towards European competitions more because of the amount of couples, you've danced a lot.
The atmosphere is different.
Atmosphere, people see you. Because here we used to do a lot of small competitions just... So to get on the dance floor and continue practicing how to perform and, you know, have stamina. But usually, you know, you get ready, you go, you dance one round, and that's it. And, I mean, we'll do two, senior one, senior two, so you have two rounds. But still, and a lot of times, you either sharing the floor with the other couples, pro-am couples, or just amateur couples, but not your couples because you're the only one. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you have another couple of games too, so you are on the dance floor. So it's not enough dancing. I feel like you have to experience more dancing.
Yeah, it doesn't motivate you. It doesn't make you.
No.
You have to motivate yourself even more.
Yes.
You have to make yourself.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. So that's why we need to go more towards Europe.
Yeah. Yes, I agree 100%. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on Scalora Danceport. It is always an honor for me to speak with American athletes of your caliber because, as everyone knows, I am an American citizen and I love seeing American athletes successful. So I can't wait to see you more often in Europe. So maybe you'll have to come visit me in Sicily. We'll make some competition here.
Would love to.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. And we love America. I'm so proud to representing America at the big championships. I'm very proud.
Yes, yes, yes. You guys have a great show later today and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Tranquilla mamma, sono con lei che sta shakerando.